that's before you today, because your name is holy. And Jesus, if it weren't for your death and burial and resurrection, we could not even have your name on our lips with such joy and such power, with such peace, with such satisfaction. Lord, I pray that you'd move in each and every one of our hearts today as we look at the power of your name, the holiness of your name, the righteousness of your name. Looking forward to the day that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. And we give you glory and honor today. God, prepare our hearts for your word. Open up our hearts for your word. Transform us, God, from the inside out, we ask. Thank you for meeting with us, God. Thank you for being our friend. And thank you for being our God, our King. And we bow in awe before your holy presence. Oh, Jesus, we give you glory. We give you all honor and power and might. And God, as we sing this morning, we can see and experience even the angels around the throne crying, holy, 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 nonstop, for eternity, and still not capture the essence of your holiness. You are so great beyond our words and our worship and our comprehension today. We give you all the praise, Lord, and all God's people said. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. We're going to talk about the third commandment today and the name that's worthy of the highest honor. As our children are dismissed to junior church, we pray that they will have a great time in the presence of Jesus. Exodus 27 says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." And while the first commandment is the foundation that establishes worshiping the right God, the second commands us to teach this right God in the right way, and our worship matters. And then the third commandment teaches us that God's name, Yahweh, is worthy of the highest honor. You see, when a baby is born, the parents often exercise the first act of authority in naming their child. John and Rachel are getting ready to do that. Most parents go through an extensive process to choose a name. There's always a conversation that happens like this. We can't name the child that because people will make fun of him or her because it rhymes with something else. That was the case for me. My dad's name is Lawrence Edward II, and they were going to name me Lawrence Edward III, and there's a lot of things that rhyme with third, Edward the, and so you can fill in the blanks there. So they did not name me that. Names are important. We might say, or that name just sounds crazy. How about names that go with last names? We get particular about our last names at well, like Wallace Wallace, or you don't want to name your child if your last name is Lane, Candy, Candy Lane, or Jim Shoe, or how about Rusty Blades? These are actually really names. Marshmallow, Paige Turner. Don't name your... If your last name is Bath, don't name your child Anita. Anita Bath. Or Artichoke. Phil Graves. Or, this is my favorite, Crisp P. Bacon. Most parents want to name their child with a name that brings honor rather than humor or reproach. God is not named, but has the authority to name himself, which means he has a name that comes before all other names in the world, past, present, and future. God's name is worthy of the highest honor. How we treat God's name speaks a lot about our character and our spiritual condition. So this third commandment teaches the importance of honoring God, whose name is worthy of the highest honor. No one named him, he named himself. We all have names that we received from our parents. He's been given a name that's above every name. So what is so important about God's name? He begins by saying, you shall not take the Lord, the name of the Lord, or Yahweh, your God, in vain. That's the name God revealed to Moses at the burning bush. God's name is Yahweh, which means I am because I am. I will be whom I will be. What's so important about God's name is because He exists, because He exists. He's self-existent. God's name speaks of His self-existent, His self-sufficiency, and His supreme sovereignty over the universe. And later on in the Bible, as we've already discovered, that God reveals other aspects of His name, such as Yahweh or Jehovah, Yahweh who saves, or Yahweh who heals, Jehovah Rapha. God's name is His identity. His name is inseparable from His person. The name carries the weight of all of His identity, all of His attributes, His holiness, His purity, His truth, His self-existent, and on the list goes. It's in the name. See, God's name is an identity that commands the highest worship. So therefore, when we use God's name, we are referring to His divine essence, His entire identity, and His entire reputation. God's name communicates His glory in all of creation and salvation. You see, when we use God's name properly, it is what is called, and I'm not going to even use the word, but it's a manner of speech in which one part stands for the whole. Like, for example, of that in the English language, you say there's a lot of new faces in here today. Well, are we really referring to just the face apart from the body? There's a lot of faces floating around in the room. No, we're referring to the whole person. So when we refer to God's name and we use God's name, we're not just referring to part of God, but all of God. All of His attributes and characteristics. Psalms 8:1 says, O Lord our God, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. You have set Your glory above the heavens. Psalms 106:8, yet He saved them for His name's sake, that He might make known His mighty power. Psalms 111:9-10. He sent redemption to His people. He has commanded His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is His name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. His name invokes or brings about worship. So when we take that phrase in the Hebrew, do not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. The word take means to literally lift up. And when we use that word vain, it's in the sense of desolating or morally ruin, or even idolatry, or to render it useless or false. And the root word of that word vain is to literally rush over, to waste, to rush over in a wasteful way. So if we were to put that definition in that phrase in the scripture, it would be say, do not lift up, do not magnify or worship, or wear, so to speak, how you live your life, respect God's name for the purpose of emptiness, falseness, uselessness, or wastefulness. So in other words, since God's name is His identity, it's do not use it in any way other than for worshiping Him and honoring Him. Do not use the name of God in other ways other than worshiping and honoring Him. So how do we use God's name in an honoring way? And we're going to look at the positive and the negative in each of these. But first of all is what we're all most familiar with. It's having a reverence for the name of Yahweh, but refusing. The way to honor God's name is to use God's name as a curse word or a phrase of shock, surprise, or threat, or sarcasm, and that is disrespectful for the name of God. You see, we reveal our spiritual condition in contempt for God by using phrases as curse words or expressions of surprise or threat And I've heard people in the church all the time do, I'm just talking about the church worldwide and all the places that I've been, Christians gathering at a buffet on Sunday morning, phrases like, good Lord. Oh my God, Lordy, I swear to God, darn it, God darn it, or another word, or just simply the name of Jesus Christ. Christians using God's name as an exclamation. How would you feel about if your name was used in a useless way around the world? Every time something's tragically happened. Oh, my Tanya. I'd be dishonoring her name, desecrating her name. Or somebody says something and I get sarcastic and say, good Tanya. There was a pastor some years ago that had a long speaking itinerary, and he boarded a late night flight to return home. He was tired and looking forward to rest. And so sitting behind him in the airplane, there was two salesmen whose conversation was peppered with profanity. The pastor finally had it, and they began running the Lord's name into the gutter. So the pastor raised himself up from the seat, turned around, and was looking down on them from his perch, and he said, are either of you in ministry? The one in the aisle seat raised his eyes up incredulously and said, what would ever make you think that? That we're in ministry? Well, the pastor replied, I'm in ministry, and I'm amazed at your communication skills. You just said God, damn, hell, Jesus Christ in one sentence. I can't get all of that into a whole sermon. They both blushed and didn't hear another word from them for the remainder of the flight. What a very creative and kind way to honor God's name in that situation. I thought it was a great story. Refuse to use God's name as a curse word. And you know what? As Christians, we're in the setting of church. We need to remind one another, because sometimes it becomes such a repetitive thing that we say it and we don't even realize we're saying it. It's refusing to use God's name and encouraging one another not to do so, because we're speaking about our King. We're speaking about our Savior who loves us so dearly. We're speaking about the God who can with a breath create the universe. Secondly, how do we use God's name in an honor way? And that's by submitting to His authority and sovereignty. So in other words, that's refusing to use God's name for your own fleshly desires. And this is using God's name as sorcery. I remember years ago when I was working at Teen Challenge, one of the guys comes in with a prayer from one of those prosperity ministries and says, hey, if we pray this 7 times, then God has to do this. It's using God's name in a way that manipulates Him. And we do this all the time. We do this when we use God's name to validate what we want to do on our own agendas. Well, the Lord told me to do this. Or I've heard people use the phrase, because of something in their flesh that they don't want to do, or they do want to do, or they want you to do that way, and they want you to control you and to do it. I just feel a check in my spirit about that. But they're not really hearing from the Lord. We can use God's name in vain by telling lies or trying to validate our own opinions with His name. That is false prophecy. We can use God's name in vain by using it as a good luck charm. Well, if I just use God's name, and it'll just keep me safe, you know, if I just say it when something bad is happening. It's using God in a way. In the Old Testament, there's an example of this. There was prophets speaking and telling the people what they wanted to hear. And this is what Jeremiah says. He says, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say to them, you will not see the sword, nor shall you have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. And the Lord said to me, and that sounds like the message of most prosperity preachers today. The prophets are prophesying lies in my name, and I did not send them, nor did I command them or speak to them. They are prophesying to you a lying vision, worthless divination, and the deceit of their own minds. So here's all these prophets in Israel that were claiming to be believers in Yahweh, the God, spiritual leaders, and Jeremiah says they're practicing sorcery. Because they're using the name of God to carry on their own agenda. And how many times as we look back through the history of the world that in the name of Christ, people have been murdered and killed and conquered with the Crusades. In the name of Christ, people have been martyred. We see this throughout history, people using God's name. And we know the most prolific example, not long ago in our history in the world wars, was Hitler, who was using the name of God to slaughter the Jews. And we find it even yet here today. A self-made moralism. You can't tell people the gospel of Jesus Christ because that's not being loving. Doesn't the Bible say, after all, we're supposed to love our neighbors? You can't condemn that sin. People use the name of God all the time to justify their false morality. There was a dude in Acts, some guys in Acts who were practicing magic and witchcraft. And so in verse 11, we pick up God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, power in the name of Jesus, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "I adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul proclaims." The seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this. But the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you?" And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, overpowered them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks. And notice what happened. Fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. Also, many of those who were now believers came confessing and divulging their practices, and a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted the value of them, and it came to 50,000 pieces of silver, millions of dollars. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. You want to know one of the biggest signs of revival in someone who is carrying the anointing and preaching in the power of the name of Jesus? It's not just crazy things that happen, but people begin to repent and revere the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's real revival. Repentance and revering the name of Jesus Christ, and that's what happened here. So how do we honor God's name? By refusing to use it for our own fleshly desires. And it is so tempting, especially for us as Christians, is if there's something that we want to do, it's like God told me to do. I prayed about it, and I just got a good feeling about it. Or people that get disgruntled with one another, and they start to pray, I'm going to pray for God's will to be done. And so what they're really doing is they're looking for the next person that's going to offend them, and then they're going to make their decision, say, oh, God is leading me to do this. That's sorcery, using God's name in vain. Thirdly, how do we use God's name in an honoring way? Is by wearing the name of Yahweh honestly. And this is where it hits me and hits you really, probably at a very deep level. It was refused to use God's name to run from God himself. And that sounds like a funny phrase, but using God to run from God. Or cover up sin. You see, we can deceive ourselves by using external works or church busyness or Christian phrases to avoid a growing relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We can proclaim to others the Bible or Christian lines to cover up our sinful lifestyle. You know, like the guys I told you about in the first church I pastored. The first thing you would be met with when you would come in is, you know, you're dying and going to hell if you don't accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. One guy was trying to have an affair with the lady in the church on the other side, and I don't know what the other guy was into. But it's using Christian lines and phrases to cover up what's really going on in your life. We're all tempted to do it. We all can say, you know, the Lord bless you. And I've had people that were slanderous gossips, and then when they saw me in public after many years, Lord bless you. Well, you didn't bless me yesterday or last year. You cursed me. And that was in your heart. But I'm guilty of it myself. If we want to honor the name of God, is that we wear it most honoring, avoiding self-deception, avoiding using spiritual things as a cover-up. You know, we become experts at being busy in church ministry while practicing sin in secret. Beware of that self-deception, because God's name is worthy of higher honor than that. People in the world are watching. They're proclaiming the name of Jesus, but then look at what they're doing here. And I do want to say, and again, I brought it up on Wednesday night, and I want to emphasize again and again and again. In our newcomers class, we're talking about the difference between being born again and being religious. We're living in a religious culture where everybody says they're saved or have the name of Christ. But if you have not received the Spirit of God, if you've not been baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ, you're not a believer. And you won't honor God's name. You'll carry around a fake religion. Your lifestyle will not change. You will do outward acts of works to make people think that you're a good Christian. But it will never have the power. The fruit of the Spirit will never be developing in your life, in my life, unless we have the Spirit of God and we're truly born again by the supernatural work of Jesus Christ. We must refuse to use God's name to run from Him and cover up our sin. Four, how do we use God's name in an honorable way? By recognizing that the name Yahweh is God's entire identity and reputation. So we already mentioned that, but it's to refuse. And remember, the root word of that word vain is to run past. Refuse to rush past God's name or to disregard it or treat it lightly. Well, we rush past God's name in a lot of different ways, especially when we forget that it refers to all of God's attributes. We rush past God's name when God is only a God of wrath to us, but not also a God of love and a God of holiness, or the very opposite, which is the biggest problem that we see in America, is that people dissect God's name. God is only a God of love, but not a God of holiness and justice. It's rushing past to make a God that we want to make, and it goes back to the other two commandments, 1 and 2. I have no other gods before me. We rush past God's name when we make it just simply common and secular. Have you ever caught yourself in public saying to people, well, the man upstairs? That's a very secular viewpoint of who God is, because we don't want to offend people. But God's name is not common. It's not secular. He's our Savior. He's our King. He's the Creator of the universe. He's the God that is a God of wrath. He's a God who is a God of all-encompassing love. We rush past God when we're unprepared for our day of worship. And I'm not just talking about Sunday. I'm talking about entering into our daily life without recognizing God, yet claiming to be a believer in Jesus Christ. Or even coming to worship service rushing past prayer, rushing past getting our hearts ready for corporate worship, to just like, well, I hope the worship team sings my favorite songs to fire me up today, because it's going to take a while to get me fired up because I've overlooked and I've rushed past the name of God this morning. Or I hope I make it through work today because I forgot about God when I first woke up in the morning. We're all guilty of it, but the greatest thing is that God has called us into this privileged relationship of not rushing past the gravity, the weight, the heaviness of His name. How do we use God's name in an honoring way? Last of all, today, by living and speaking that the name Yahweh is the name above all names. It's, in other words, refuse to waste God's name, or that's an empty part of the definition of vain. You see, we waste God's name when we flippantly say phrases like, praise the Lord, or God bless you, without really meaning it. And we're really good at this one, right? You're ugly, bless your heart. I just thought that was a great picture. It's really what we look like, these nerdy, smug people, when we use God's name and take it for granted, and we just have these common phrases, and we don't really think about what we say, and, you know, using God's name for filler. I've heard pastors do that, praise the Lord, because if we're singing to the Lord's, praise the Lord. If we're going down to the, you know what I mean. We waste God's name when we don't live in a manner that Jesus Christ is our King. Can people see that we're kingdom children, that He's the one that we follow? We also waste God's name when our public worship just becomes casual or ritual. And I think we can all fall prey into that, where either my worship is just like, well, this is something I do, and it's something I always do, and I didn't come ready today, so I'm just going to see if I can make it through it today. Or, other words, unless church is a circus, I'm not going to be wowed by it, or I'm not going to be in the presence of God, or my fog machine broke, or whatever it is. I just laugh at that. I remember reading that article several years ago. People said, oh, just God's presence hasn't been in our church since the fog machine broke. But church becomes a circus, and literally some churches have had circuses for their Sunday morning worship. It becomes ritual or a circus. I want to read these quotes, first of all by pastor, and then from a quote from Shakespeare, Hamlet. The specific misuse God has in mind is speaking about Him carelessly, thoughtlessly, and even flippantly, as if He didn't matter or really didn't exist at all. God's name has deep spiritual significance. So to treat it like something worthless is profanity in the truest sense of the word. It is to treat something holy and sacred as common and secular. To dishonor God's name in any way is to degenerate His holiness. It is a way of saying that God Himself is worthless. I don't know about you. Through studying this, I had to put my steel-toed shoes on, and still God got through those. In fact, you have steel on, it's going to smash your toes when God puts His weight on it. This is the weight of His glory, the presence of the living God. Shakespeare's Hamlet puts it this way: my words fly up, my thoughts remain below. Words without thoughts never to heaven go. I've often caught myself praying these ritual prayers at dinner time or somewhere else, and then my thoughts are still here. It's not even on heaven. It's just something that I've learned to do. God, you're neat. Let's eat. My words fly up. My thoughts remain below. Words without thoughts never to heaven go. How do we use God's name in honor? By refusing to waste His name. And we waste God's name when we fail to recognize the importance of its witness and impact in society. What happened with the name of Jesus in the book of Acts? The dead were raised, People were healed. People were saved. People were baptized. It is the power of God unto salvation. It is not an empty name to just throw up into the sky. So what does that lead us to? He concludes that scripture in verse 7 by saying, "The Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." And that word guiltless literally means to be unclean or blameless. So God will say, you're unclean. You're not without blame. And an example of that would be, and then we see God's promise of judgment. And just a clear example would be from Leviticus chapter 24, verses 10 to 16. I'll just read it very quickly to you. You don't have to turn there. But it says, "An Israelite woman's son, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the people of Israel. And the Israelite woman's son and a man of Israel fought in the camp. And the Israelite woman's son blasphemed the name and cursed. So they brought him to Moses. His mother's name was Shilemith, the daughter of Dibri, the tribe of Dan. They put him in custody till the will of the Lord should be clear to them. And then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Bring out of the camp the one who cursed.' And let all who heard him lay their hands on his head, and let all of the congregation stone him. And speak to the people of Israel, saying, 'Whoever curses his God shall bear his sin.'" So basically, he was set as an example. "Whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall stone him. The sojourner as well as the native, when he blasphemes the name, shall be put to death." I'm glad that Jesus Christ has bore our death penalty for us. But yet this is the severity, the power, and the consequences of blaspheming the name of God. Oh, how it hurts the Holy Spirit, how it grieves the Spirit of God within us when we misuse His name. So we will be held accountable and judged by God for misusing His name. And two, the name Yahweh is worthy of the highest honor, and it evokes us to live our lives totally in worship for Him. And then last of all, God's name is the name above all names, Jesus Christ, our great God and Savior. And so as we look at that, some verses that talk about the name, we want to leave today with praise on our lips. "Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth." Psalm 66, "Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing to the glory of His name. Give to Him glorious praise." Psalm 72, "Blessed be His glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with glory." Amen and amen. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." And in Colossians 3:17, He says, "Whatever you do, in word or indeed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Just imagine what will happen in our neighborhoods, our workplaces, our community, if everything we do it to the name of this holy God who is far above all principalities and powers, far above all the universe, far above all our troubles and sicknesses and traumas and pains and violence and all the things that's going on in our country. It is the name that is above every name. What if we would live to the honor of His name and do, whether it's a mundane task or a big task, whether it's singing in the worship service or at home doing your devotions, doing it all in the name of the weight of the glory of God. So we have to refuse to use God's name as a curse word, refuse to use it in our own fleshly desires, refuse to use God's name to cover up sin, refuse to treat it lightly or empty. Because as believers, and don't ever forget this, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you're born again, you're saved in the name of the Lord. He who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. We are baptized into the body of Christ in the name of Jesus Christ. He says in 1 Corinthians, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" He says, "Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified," what? "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." He meant what he said by those words. Those words are truth as we preach the gospel throughout this nation. That is what we were, but this is what the power of the name of Jesus does. And we're living in a country where all these things are okay, where all these things that are listed are fine and we just need to be loving and things like that. No, we have to be loving of people enough to tell the truth and say you can be washed in the name of Jesus Christ. The problem is the church is not holding the name of Jesus Christ in high honor. We're holding our own opinions. We're holding our church building. We're holding our programs in higher honor than the name of Jesus Christ. Our offering plates. It says, "But you are washed and sanctified and justified in the name of Jesus Christ." I want to ask our worship team to come today. But in Matthew chapter 7, I want you to notice these words of people crying out the name of the Lord. And I pray that you would take this home and allow the Holy Spirit to process this in your heart as he is in my own. But Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' is entering the kingdom of God." Because they're taking God's name in vain. "But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven, on that day many will say, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? We even cast out demons in your name. And we do many mighty works in your name. We fed so many homeless. We did this, this, and that. We went to church every Sunday. We had perfect record in Sunday school.' And Jesus will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity.'" So here is the thing, as followers of Jesus Christ, we either surrender to him as Lord now or later, it's going to happen anyways. Because in Philippians it says, "God has highly exalted him and he's bestowed on Jesus Christ the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Are you giving the highest honor to the holy name of the Lord? I hope that this passage, this message, was as challenging to you as it was to me. And as the body of Christ, we are called not to focus on the things of this earth, but to elevate, to raise up the holy name of Jesus Christ. Whether that gets us killed or whether that gets us mocked, whatever gets us, you know, God has given us an opportunity where we have the freedom to speak the name of Jesus right now, at least. But we will be persecuted for it. But take advantage of lifting up the name of Jesus so that everyone will be filled with awe, like in the book of Acts. Holy is the name of the Lord. Holy is the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you for your holy word. Please remove anything that is in the way that I've spoken. And God, I invite you in my life and the lives of my brothers and sisters here to convict us. Whatever these five areas, God, that we've failed in, we ask your forgiveness. And Lord, today we receive your grace and your love and your power. And Lord, our desire in our hearts, because you have saved us and you've washed us with your blood, is to give you honor with how we live our lives. So Lord, we invite you to come. And if you're here today and you have religion, but you've never been born again, you've never been baptized by the Spirit, I invite you to turn to Jesus Christ, because he died in your place for your sins and he rose again. And it says in the Bible, "He who calls on the name of the Lord, he will be saved." So will you call on his name right now? Will you invite the Spirit to come and refine you and baptize you into the body of Jesus Christ? Will you be born again? And if you are born again, will you invite the Spirit to come and take control and to fill you afresh and anew with his power, with his might, with a zeal for the name of Jesus Christ? Amen.
Here, Abel, would you stand with us as we have a closing song?